mess around with 29. Maybe somebody had a thermometer that showed 30, and then I'll be feeling so much better. So there you go. But it's supposed to warm up. I've been telling everybody, don't worry, even though it's 60 degrees warmer in your refrigerator right now, it will get warmer. I hear Thursday is going to be in the mid-30s. Woohoo! Back to disc golf and jogging in Makoshika, for those of you who like to run. Nobody likes to run. All right, well, find your way of expressing yourself in the nice warm weather coming. Well, thank you for joining us today. Let's open with a word of prayer and just bless the Lord as he certainly has blessed us. Lord God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the privilege it is to gather in your house. It's warm in here. It's very cold outside. Thank you for protecting those who are on the roads, going from one place to the other. We just pray for safe traveling mercies, that all will be safe and warm. Pray for furnaces to keep running until this cold snap is over, that everything will continue to work well. And we pray for protection for those that have to work in this weather as well. We ask, Lord God, that you will be glorified in our midst. We love you and we serve you with our whole hearts. And we join with you, and we are thankful that you're always with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Stand with me as we open with our songs.
Nothing can separate. Even if I ran away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Wind is strong, the water's deep, but I'm not alone here in these open seas. Your love never fails. The chasm is far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails.
Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Never fails.
We definitely have a lot less people here today, and I'm used to be able to hear you guys singing, and I can't hear anything.
Got to amp it up a little bit.
You have to work a little harder.
We're missing some of the worship team, too.
We are. So we're a little thin today.
A little thin today.
We're going to worship God. We love God.
Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, while you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is surprising, I can feel it rising, all the joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel this God song rising up in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, why you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen. Even on a cold day, the warming presence of the Holy Spirit can just cause us to want to sing from deep down within our soul. And I pray that that's true for you, that no matter what the circumstances, that you just find that presence of God overwhelming in a good way, that you just can't help but just pray and just shout it out, just sing it from song, and just open your heart to Him. Some circumstances are easier than others. When we have those good moments, those times where everything just goes right, and then those times where it doesn't go so right, and it's tough. But in our spirit, we just want to worship Him and just give Him thanks. We have an opportunity to give once again. And so for those of you who haven't had that chance yet, the offering plates are here for you to use for a blessing to God. And if you are at home, you're not able to do that here in person, you're sure welcome to use our online ability for giving as well. And it's been a blessing to be able to continue to support what God is doing in His church. So let's pray as we honor the Lord with the opportunity to share in the offering. Lord God, thank you. It is a blessing to be able to give, to be faithful to that call of supporting the ministries that you've laid out before us. And I just pray your anointing to be upon each and every one as we give from our hearts, as we tithe as we even go above and beyond. I know that with the schedule changes, with the youth winter retreat going on, there's BGMC today. And so the kids will learn about missions. And we're thankful for the privilege it is to support that every week that we are here. And we're thankful that we can serve you with offering and with song. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Take a few moments this morning and just worship Him. Lord, we worship You today. We just bless Your holy name. We're thankful that Your love is always, ever before us. You lead us by Your Holy Spirit. You encourage us when we're down. You give us strength where we're weak. You give us peace in the midst of chaos. Thank You so much for loving us, Lord. Thank You for being there always for us. We just worship You, and we thank You for it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord.
Turns His face away
as wounds which mar the chosen one, to bring his sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sins upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for the debt you paid for me, that you paid for all of us. Thank you for loving us so much. And about what you're prepared to share later as we continue with the service today, I pray that we've been encouraged in our heart of hearts. For those who are believers, that we have found it uplifting to worship you, but also that you have found it a blessing to your heart to hear us, to know our hearts are true in our love for you. May we also be open to your word as we continue in faith. And for anyone who has not yet come to that place where they've said, yes, I believe. And not only do I believe, but I commit myself into the hands of God, that he might be my Lord, my Savior. If there's anyone on the internet, if anyone within the sound of my voice right now that would say, yes, I'm ready, we pray, Lord God, draw them. Draw them close to your heart, I pray, as you have already drawn me and so many others. We give you thanks, and we give you praise, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name, and everyone together said, amen. Amen. God bless you.
down earlier, but I didn't like it there with my guitar, so I took it off again. You know, I was thinking about this. I think it's the most appropriate that this particular Sunday is the coldest Sunday that we've had in a long time. I really do. And there's actually a wonderful family member of our church, family members of our church, that I'm going to call out, because we've got this beautiful family that has chosen to sell their home and buy one down where it's warmer. Oh, and so I'm actually going to ask Wes and Jackie, would you guys come up here? We want to put you on the spot, and we want to bless you, as this is, I think, your last Sunday here with us as far as official. Is that right? Because you're moving down to Springfield way. And Springfield, what's the temperature there? Did you check? It's been cold. Great. We wouldn't want them to leave cold and go to warm yet, would we? Has it been like 29 below cold? Oh, no. Oh, no. So what's cold for Springfield? Zero. Oh, wow. That's shorts and t-shirt weather here. So would you come up here? We would like to bless you and pray for you and just ask God to just bless your endeavors as you go forward. And I know you have family there. You might want to stand up here just so the people that couldn't come today would at least be able to see your faces. And we love you so much. You've been a part of this church for a long time. I have no idea how many years. You've been a part of my life for over 4 years now. And you've been a wonderful blessing to our church, our family. And we're just wanting to pray a special blessing on them. So would you all stand with me? And for you who are online, you know, if you want to extend your hands forward in blessing, you sure can. But let's just pray for the Cools and just ask that God will direct your path. And everything will be wonderful. And you find a church and a family that you can connect to there as well. Sound good? Awesome. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for the blessing it is to come together, to be able to build relationships, to be a family. And we know that this has been a great family to connect with here in Glendive. And I know, Lord, that you change things, you guide us in different paths over different time periods of our life. And retirement is one of those areas where things can change. And so while we may be selfishly wanting them to stay, we know that it's your plan for them to go. And so, Lord God, we extend them into your hands and just pray for Wes and Jackie both, that you will guide them and make their paths straight as you lead by your Holy Spirit. We pray that they will enjoy the time that they have in a warmer climate. They might regret it when it's really hot, but we know that it'll be a blessing to be close to more family members as well, even though there's some that are still here. Specifically, literally, and also our church family. But Lord, we just pray that you will guide them, direct their path, and that they will be a blessing to others, a blessing to another church family as well. We extend them into your grace and your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I don't know if it's proper or not, but sure. We're done with COVID here, right? No, just kidding. Bless you guys. Love you. You're too big to hug real good, so. We know that God will direct you well, and he's already provided a great house. You've sold the one here, and so everything is falling in place. There was a part of me there was a point where they were saying, you know, if we don't sell the house, maybe we'll sell the one we just bought down there. And I'm like, oh, that's a good way to pray. And then like a week later, oh, by the way, we sold the house. I'm like, what? Okay, Lord, I guess I can let them go. If you have a bulletin, you see what's going on there. We have BGMC today because our winter retreat is going on for our youth group members. And Pastor Jason and Pastor Jennifer and Levi are actually there right now with them. And so that's why we're a little bit sparse up here on the platform, but also why Kids Church has been switched in the order of when we do BGMC. So that will be happening today with Doug and Beth in just a little bit. We also want to bring up that we have our first board meeting with the newly elected board member. Shane Bishop was elected to the board by our annual business meeting. And so he has served that capacity in the past, so this isn't unfamiliar territory. But we're thankful that he is able to come into that position of leadership. And that first meeting for us as a new board will be this coming Tuesday. Ladies' coffee is happening. Ladies' Sunday school class is going on. on the 21st. Keep that in mind, the 20th, the 21st. We're going to have a special board and staff dinner for those that are part of that this coming, this coming next week, which will be Sunday night. And because of that, my discipleship class has been pushed down one more week, as some of you have noticed. But we will get the Bible study going soon. Hopefully the 28th, there will be no conflicts. But we just had to push that down the road just a little bit. And just kind of FYI for your information, I really believe that when you have leadership endeavors and relationship building opportunities, we can do more than what we've done. And I'm hoping that in the future we might even have somewhat of a retreat where we go somewhere and spend a night and an afternoon. I don't know if it'll happen, but that's my goal, is that we could actually develop somewhat of a routine during this time of year when we have a transition of one board member or two stepping down and then another new or two coming in, just to begin that process, say thank you, but welcome at the same time. So that's what that's all about, and looking forward to that. Real Gals topical study is coming up. There's lots of stuff going on for the ladies, and Wise Guys is happening at the end of the month. Discipleship class, as you know, is starting later. So there's all that detailed information. Normally we would have a wonderful, fun-filled commercial with Pastor Jason and somebody. Lloyd's been a part of that, but because they're not here, we're not able to do that commercial. So I guess we're just going to have to move on. Kind of disappointing, huh? Doug, you got a commercial you want to share? Oh, wow, he did this, for those of you that didn't see. He did that. That was awesome. So I guess that's all I got, and I think we can move on with the service. We'll dismiss the kids that are here for Kids Church, which is BGMC today. Thank you, Doug and Beth, for doing that. And while they're going, turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. I know what we have, at least one visitor today. I think we've got more than one visitor. So you braved the cold weather to come join us. Thank you for that. And prayerfully, next week it'll be a little warmer and everybody else can come back as well. I did hear somebody's car didn't start. How many had that trouble today? Oh, yeah, more than a couple then. Well, thankfully, the car that I had to start this morning that was sitting outside had a plug heater in it, so I was able to plug it in last night, and it fired right up. I wasn't sure if it would start otherwise, because it sure groaned and moaned when it was 26 below. 29 might have just killed it. All right, I'm getting there. 1 John chapter 2. I thought I had it already, but I missed it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. Oh, by the way, happy Valentine's Day. Yeah. Is it your birthday, Dorothy? That's right, it is. Happy birthday. That must be a real bummer to have it on Valentine's Day. It's one of those things where you get one present and it covers both, right? No, that shouldn't happen. That shouldn't happen. But I know those things can happen. Well, happy birthday to you as well. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life." That's a pretty good promise. Verse 26, "I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you." Well, that's an interesting statement right there. "But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him." Abide in him. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can know you, we can have your presence within us, and that we can do what is figuratively stated as abide in you. And it is a very personal thing. It's a very literal thing. It is something that actually happens in our spirit. In the depths of our soul, we know when we have joined together with you. That's not something that can be taught. It's not something that we can learn and have head knowledge. While we can be taught the truth of it and we can understand it to a degree, it's something we must experience so that we know you and that you know us. And I pray, Lord God, that as you encourage us today with this word, we will remember to always hold on to that truth of abiding. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message today, if you have an app, you see that there, and there's some notes for you. If not, the bulletin has some notes on the back as well. Simplify your faith. Simplify your faith. I mean, maybe that's something you want to hear, maybe it's something you don't want to hear. There's a mixture of how we receive this statement based on our traditions, based on our experiences with the Lord and with church in general. Excuse me. The dry air makes my cough come out a little bit, so I'll try not to cough in the microphone. We all desire to see God moments in our lives. You might wonder, what's a God moment? Well, it's where something miraculous happens, something phenomenal takes place. You have an experience at the altar where you just have this overwhelming sense of God's presence upon you and in you, and you see the miraculous take place in your own heart, in your own soul. Or maybe you actually witness a physical touch, a healing where someone that was blind can now see. Maybe you've seen somebody's leg lengthened in front of you. Maybe you've seen somebody completely healed from cancer. You saw the actual, the x-rays that showed the cancer, and then you see the new x-ray where it's gone. And those are big God moments that we would love to experience, and we actually do long for. It can be explained as this, is when God comes down in all his glory, the God moments of life, striving to see that in us, striving to see that in all that we do continually. But the reality is that vision, that goal, that desire might be unrealistic. Excuse me. It's not only unrealistic for us to experience God moments continually, but to strive and to long for them actually could very well be destructive to you and your faith. The truth is that the larger part of our lives is spent in the ticking clock of day-to-day existence, not on the mountaintops. There are people that have gone through their lives believing there's something wrong with them. There's something wrong with me. I don't experience these highs all the time. You hear other people talk about it, but you're like, well, who am I? What's wrong with me? Why don't I have these moments? Why don't I have these experiences every single day? Well, the reality is none of us have those experiences every single day. We're not meant to. We're meant to live the day-to-day faith walk that challenges us to be faithful when we don't feel like it. To follow after God when we don't have the high moments, but we experience the lows. We need to simplify our expectations of what it is to have faith in God. And that's not easy to do, especially in a Pentecostal church. Any amens out there? Come on. In a church that believes that the Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses, and it's revealed that it's happened in your life by the evidence of the speaking in tongues, and then you see the stories of the healings, and we wonder why aren't we experiencing as many healings as we're once told. Well, maybe, just maybe, there's a possibility that the miracles are happening at the same rate as they always have. But the truth is, the mundane, everyday, ticking clock life experience of following God is the reality that we face daily, and so does everybody else. But we have been misled, or maybe misperception has taken its toll on us, and we have come to the idea and the thinking that we're supposed to always be on the high of faith, always experience the glory of God, the God moments, and continually be on the mountaintops. Well, if we were supposed to be that way, why do we have a Psalm 23? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What does that mean? Even if I'm about to die, I'm not afraid. I am about to die right now, and I'm not afraid. Why not? Because God is with me. But we somehow misunderstand that and think we're supposed to be experiencing glory, 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 and it's not. It's humility, it's sacrifice, it's struggles, it's trials, it's testings. We want to have peace from God. Lord, give me peace. I need peace. Which peace would you like? The peace which passes understanding, or the worldly peace that I told you I'm not bringing? Jesus told his disciples, I have not come to bring peace. I came with a sword. I'm going to cause father to go against mother, son against father, mother, daughter. You know, we're all going to be divided. That's what I'm going to do, Jesus says. However, I will bring you a peace which makes no sense at all to the world. A peace which passes understanding is a peace that you have even when you shouldn't. Simplify the faith. Simplify your expectations. We need to realize there is a balance of expectations, growth, and relationship with God. Because if you don't understand that, you're going to constantly beat yourself up and think you're not good enough. Think somehow you fell short and you're not a true believer, because a true believer would never be depressed. A true believer would never get sick. A true believer would never find themselves in this heartache and this struggle of life. No, really? Have you actually read the Bible? I mean, have you seriously looked at the so-called wow people of the Bible and recognized that their life wasn't so smooth and easy sailing either? As a matter of fact, it was full of trials and testings and disappointments. And yet they continued with the faith. And so can you. It's not all glory. It's not all wonderful. Sometimes it's 29 below zero. And your car doesn't want to start. And so you got to stay home and listen online. But the good news is you can pause me, go to the bathroom, come back. Go get your breakfast. Get out of your pajamas. I don't know if anybody's actually listening or not. I'm just hoping. Yeah. Have a good laugh at home if you can, right? So here's what we do to ourselves. We do something that the writer of the book I'm walking through with you, from Jeremy Austell's book, Let Your Heart Go Free, here's what he relates it to. It's the counting game. The counting game of the life struggles of a Christian, of a believer. What is the counting game? Well, it's like I have gone 5 days in a row with a daily devotion without missing a beat. Or I spent 15 minutes in prayer every morning for the last 10 days. Woohoo! And then suddenly something comes up. The car won't start. You know, it's too cold, whatever, emergency phone calls, vacation, trips, whatever it is. And it breaks the cycle, and you're all the way up to 15, and now you got to start all over again. I got to start over with one. Okay, I'm going to do my devotions today. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to start, and I'm all the way back to one. Oh, that's so depressing. I was up to 25. The counting game of faith. He relates it to how his wife and him were on the beach when they were just the two of them before the kids came along, and they would play that game with the beach ball, and they'd knock the beach ball back and forth and see how far up the number list they could get. Well, I don't have the ability to do that by myself, so I brought my own counting game. I brought my trusty ping pong paddle. This is a very special paddle, by the way. It's just the right weight, just the right grip, and it's got just the right cushion. And I like this. I call this yellow, but it's actually more orange than yellow ball. But this is my favorite ping pong ball type, right? So I used to do a counting game myself when I was growing up. And I would count, and I would get up to 16, up to 25, and I'm like, man, I'm really getting good. I can really go. And pretty soon I'm up to 90, I'm up to 100, and I'm like, well, I've got to make it a little harder because this is too easy. So I start doing the flip thing, and how many of these can I do? Can I keep going? Can I'm up to 40? I'm up to 50? Oh, my goodness, look at this. Ooh, I got to add a little bit more difficulty because now I'm up to 300, and this is getting boring. So let's, whoops.
Oh, you're right. It didn't go as good as I thought it would.
They told me it would happen, but I didn't listen. I could do the behind the back. I really can. But I got a little excited. I need to put my muff ball back on. You get the picture. And as you continue to count, the tension levels get high. The nerves start to get a little trembly. Here comes a muff muff. You like that sound? That was funny. But the disappointing thing is we get up to a certain point and our nerves are just getting really tense and just, oh my goodness, I'm really getting we're up to 25, we're up to 60, and you just can't handle it anymore and you mess up. The ball drops. And now you're back to one. Starting over. Now in a ping pong paddle challenge, big deal. My brother and I would hit, we used to play ping pong and see how long we could go. Well, that got boring because we're both pretty good at it. So now we're just hitting in the air. And we did really good with that too. But the nerves, when you got up to where you're close to the record, suddenly you're starting to get that nervy feel. And you just, oh, and we get it, yeah! And then you fail because you're celebrating, right? And that's what we do with our faith. Man, I was doing so well attending church. I was doing so well with my tithe. I was doing so well with my not doing this thing that's always been a challenge for my life, this sinful practice that I'm breaking myself of, this whatever. It could be gossip. It could be something else. It could be lying. You know, man, I was doing so well. I haven't lied for 40 days. And then I went and said that little white lie. Tell them I'm not home. Oh, that was a lie, Lord. I'm sorry. I mean, it was just a telemarketer, so it's no big deal. Does that have to count? Right? Just a little white lie. But we start all over again. But here's the cool thing. Jesus plays the counting game too. But he plays different. He doesn't play the same way we do. He knows you. He knows me. And he knows that we are doing our best to walk with him, to strive with him, to grow in him, to become more like him every day. And we're not there yet. There's only two ways that we're going to get to be completely like Jesus. One of those ways is we have to die. When you die, I promise you, you will be transformed into his likeness like you've never seen before. Or the rapture of the church takes place. The trumpet sounds. The dead in Christ will rise first, and all of us who are still alive are going to jump up and meet him in the air. Well, we're not going to jump. He's going to take us up. And that's where the word rapture comes from. We will be taken up to meet him in the air, and we will become like him. That is the two ways it will happen until those days take place, one or the other. We are going to struggle. But we are doing the counting game wrong. Because when Jesus plays the counting game with us, he sees us fall flat on our face. He sees us drop the ball. We're up to a great number. We think we're doing really well. And he goes, it's okay. Come on. Where were we again? 48? Let's go. 49. 50. 51. 127. It's okay. Come on. Let's keep it going. 128. 9,000. 10,500. You don't start over with Jesus Christ. You pick up where you left off. Aren't you thankful for that? You are not perfect. You will never be perfect until one of those two things happen. And Jesus knows that. He doesn't expect perfection. He wants to know you. He wants you to do what? Abide in me. Just keep abiding in me. You're not going to do it completely 100% all the time. The glory of God doesn't fall every day at your doorstep, at your bedside, at your dinner table, at your church. But I'm with you always. Every moment of every mundane moment, I'm there. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1 and verse 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight. Lay aside your counting game. Lay aside the weight, the burden, every weight and sin which clings so closely. Lay it aside and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What does that say? Run with endurance. Don't ever quit. Don't ever stop. Keep abiding. Keep doing the race. Lay aside the sin. Lay aside the weight and the heaviness of your failure and just simply keep on going. Verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Who is the perfecter of your faith? Jesus is. You're not. You are not the perfecter of your faith. Hallelujah. I cannot perfect my faith. I cannot complete it. Only He can. And so I'm going to keep on counting with Him because the way I count is depressing. It's sad. It's failure reminders always. But Jesus doesn't do it that way, does He? He says, come on, son. Come on, daughter. Let's keep this game going. We're doing just fine. We can make a few more hits. We can get a few more going. We can keep this walking forward. You're doing so well. You're becoming more like me every day. And someday it will be completed in you. But until that day, let's just keep on going. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You are His joy. You are the one that was set before Him that caused Him to look upon the cross with joy. So what do we do with this understanding that we have to count with Him? Well, there's another part of simplifying your faith. Incremental change. How many have heard the dramatic stories? I know I've heard many of them. Dramatic, complete, overnight change where God comes in and boom, and they are completely a brand new person. All the junk of the world is now behind, and they are like on fire, living for God, never fail. Have you heard those testimonies? Maybe we should have pulled back a little bit on some of those testimonies. Not the overnight change, because I know friends that came to the Lord, and they were alcoholics. One particular friend of mine who was considered to be the town drunk, you know, that guy, right? The one guy of a small community that you say, okay, who's the drunk of this community? Well, that's this guy. Well, this guy gets radically saved, and he walks away from alcohol never to touch it again. That's a pretty incredible story. Pretty awesome and amazing. And yet other things that were also hindering his faith walk weren't so easy. Why was this one so easy? This one wasn't so easy, right? Sometimes we glorify and we highlight the big God moments, the glory come down moments, but we forget about the daily routines where we get up and we drink that morning coffee or that glass of water or milk or juice, whatever you prefer, and you're just struggling to get through that moment to get on with the day. You're annoyed or you're depressed or you're challenged with life circumstance. Where's the glory now, right? And so we expect that we're supposed to be on fire, always high, never low Christians, and that's not true. When you are making the faith journey with Jesus Christ, you need to make incremental changes. Don't try to change everything all at once. Don't expect to be the super Christian. You ever see the movie Super Christian? Way back in the 80s, they showed it in my little church in Daisy, North Dakota. It was really funny, actually. He's super Christian! And it was almost like it's a superhero kind of a thing. It was really, really cheesy and terrible acting. It was horrible acting. But the point was well taken. There's no such thing as a super Christian. We all have our weaknesses, right? So when you make changes, take them in small little bundles. We have the tendency to want to get all gung-ho and make grandiose changes of our life for the faith purpose. But sometimes maybe it's just reading a little bit of the Bible and not an entire book. Maybe it's just starting with one verse and just considering that one verse. So how are you doing in your faith? Have you gotten up to reading 3 chapters a day yet? Well, you know, I'm a terrible person. No, stop. Back up. Incremental change. If God wants you to get to the place where you're reading chapters a day, fine. Praying for 3 hours a day, fine. That's great if God leads you there. I'm not doing that. That doesn't mean I'm good or not good. That's just, I'm not. But I will say this, God has permission to interrupt me at any moment of every day. I pray continually. Not continuously. That's not happened overnight. That's taken years of incremental changes to be able to have a heart that is tuned to hear God always. And yet there's still those times where I have that time with the Lord and he's like, it's about time you listen to me. I'm like, whoa, I just heard this for the first time. All the husbands said amen. That was kind of a side note. You get that, guys? Come on. And maybe I'm not listening as often as I should, but I'm going to continue to grow. Small changes, small steps, baby steps, reading the Bible, prayer, coming to church, tithing, giving above and beyond the tithe. Whatever it is that you feel like you're not doing well enough, just take small steps. Don't try to change the world overnight. You know, you talk about witnessing, and that's one of the things we should be doing, right? And someone's like overwhelmed that you want me to reach the world with Jesus and the gospel. I just can't do that. It's too big a world. Okay, how about just one person? Share your faith with just one person. That's it. One. And then you finally get to that point and you do it. Oh, wow, I did that. I did that. That wasn't so bad. Okay, how about one more? Just one more. Let's just take one little step at a time. Quit trying to change the world all at once. Because if you think you're supposed to be grandiose, God moments always, continually, all day, every day, you are going to crash, you are going to fail, and you're going to start asking the question I don't want you to ask, what's wrong with me? Maybe you're expecting too much. Maybe you need to simplify your faith a little bit. Here's what you can do. Prayer and reading, fasting, witnessing, faithful to Sunday school, faithful to church, faithful to Bible study, those are all great things. But we can't expect everyone to just jump all in all at once. Maybe it just takes coming twice a month. Maybe work your way up to being able to be faithful, and pretty soon you feel so connected you're lost without the fellowship. Those things do happen and they will happen. But what if you simply put before yourself this challenge to constantly engage God? abide in me, as our text declares. Abide in me. And let the details work themselves out as you abide with him. As you become more familiar with him in your spirit, the more you will know him and the more he will be able to lead you in that way. It's actually better sometimes to dismiss goals and simply abide. Because sometimes the goals only cause you to be depressed and sad and frustrated. I've done this with coaching. I've done it in different scenarios. I can think of as a track coach. I had a student. I knew how good they were. They didn't. They kept looking at that clock. They kept looking at that ticking thing that they had to get to this level. And I said, just trust me. Put the clock away. Put the stopwatch away. And just listen to what I'm telling you to do. And you're going to get there. Don't worry about it. And over a period of time, suddenly we were way beyond what they originally had as a goal. Because they trusted the relationship and they followed through, and suddenly they were competing at a level they never thought they could. That is you in your faith. You're so worried about the stopwatch. You're so worried about the counting game. You're so worried about the expectations of other believers. And you need to just stop and back up and simplify your faith and simply abide. Simply connect. Let God take care of the details. And he will. He will lead you where your spirit and his spirit need to be. Psalm 24. Let's go to the Old Testament for a moment. Psalms 24. I was going to dissect this, break it down, and I decided I'm just going to read all of 1 through verse 10. Listen to the words. A psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. What is this saying? It says, be open, let him in. Allow him to be God in your life. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Abide. Allow the King of glory to come in. Let him do his thing. And quit trying to orchestrate it yourself. Small changes. Baby steps. And before you know it, you're going to be in a place you never thought you could. And that's probably the way it should be. As you simply walk in faith. Find your rhythm and flow. Yes, your rhythm and your flow. The counting game, play it Jesus' way. Changes, make them small. Find rhythm, find flow. We must be in sync with the Holy Spirit. Simple. And you will find that if you abide. Some may see that this will decrease your busyness to find your rhythm with the Lord. Some of you are just plain too busy. You don't have time to abide with the Lord. Or, on the flip side, some of you are a little bit on the lethargic side, and you need to get busy. Come on. Any amens out there? Some of you are the go, 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 go. You got to stop. Just stop. Just abide. Just wait in my presence. It's okay. You don't have to constantly go, go, go. Some of you are like, come on, get going, get going. Need a little kick in the pants, right? Like Grandpa used to say. Rhythm. What is rhythm? A consistent pace and a persistent routine. What is your rhythm in abiding with God? You need one. You really do. No great expectations of grandiose things, but simply find a rhythm. How many have heard about getting up at 5 in the morning, a good hour before you need to, so you could spend time with the Lord in prayer? How many have heard that? Lots of you. Maybe all of you have. Not everybody wanted to raise their hand, but hey, we had a lot, pretty much a majority. I don't know about online, but yeah, a lot of people have been told that. Well, guess what? Some of you are not morning people. And you're like grumpy in the morning. And when you see somebody that, oh, good morning, good morning, good morning, you want to slap, 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 slap. It's like, get out of my face. I don't want to see you for another hour, right? So I'm going to just give you a word from the Lord. This is not your rhythm. Mornings may not be your best choice. But maybe you're the one that can stay up till midnight and you got quiet time when everybody else is in bed and you're able to have that quiet time. That might be your rhythm. Maybe your rhythm is like, for me growing up, the best moments I had growing up with the Lord wasn't at church. It was in the tractor. When God came in with all his glory, because the door was open, and I allowed his glory to come, and I had been abiding throughout the day, those moments came in a tractor. For that time in my life, that was my rhythm. On horseback. Not 5 in the morning. Not midnight, but throughout the day. I was able to do it because that worked for me at that time in my life. It doesn't work anymore. I don't even own a tractor. My rhythm has changed. What is your rhythm? You need to find it because we all need rhythm. We're built that way. We're hardwired for it. And I can prove it to you. Some of you that mow the lawn have an exact certain way that you mow that lawn every single time. You know the pattern. You probably, without realizing it, can feel the number of steps. And you know exactly which turn you're going to take and how you're going to get it done best. More efficient, and you have the exact lines all worked out. Some of you are not that person. That's okay. But here's what you do. You get your toothbrush out. You put your toothpaste on the toothpaste, on your toothbrush, and you have to do it with the right hand. Not the left or right, but the correct hand. Because you've done it the other way and you feel all out of sync. You're like, this is not working. So you got to switch hands, put the toothbrush where it's supposed to be and the toothpaste where it's supposed to be, and you put it on and you only get so much, and then you start brushing. And you realize as you're brushing, you're doing the exact same thing you did yesterday. If you don't believe me, check yourself out when you brush your teeth tomorrow. Or tonight, or however many often times you want, maybe 3 times a day. You have a rhythm. It's built into you. It's hardwired in you. The way you stir your milk, if you put in the chocolate, or your coffee, or whatever. The way you put your pants on in the morning has a rhythm. It does. Try doing it different once, and you're going to be all out of sync. Your whole day is going to be ruined. When I put my coat on, I have a certain way of putting on my coat. Tina's always worried I'm going to punch somebody out that's walking through the hall. Because I got this certain way. She's like, oh, you almost hit that girl. I'm like, what? I'm just putting my coat on. What are you talking about? You need to find the rhythm that flows with you and the Holy Spirit as well. You know, you can have a worship team doing their thing and someone can hit the wrong note. And it can happen, and life goes on. You can have a guitar or a piano hit the wrong note, and it might be noticeable to some, but not everybody. Life goes on. But you get a drummer that doesn't have a rhythm, and they get off beat, and the whole thing shuts down. You cannot continue when the rhythm's off. It's destructive. neither can you survive your faith walk with God without rhythm. Rhythm necessitates a measure of concrete discipline. Yes, incremental change, but change nevertheless. Amen? The counting game, well, let's just not play the game at all. No, I said play it Jesus' way. Quit going back to square one, starting all over. Realize, yes, you're on the way. You're continuing on in faith. You're becoming more like Christ. Oops, you failed. Oops, you made a mistake. Oh my goodness, you made a really bad choice. But let's go on. Let's continue the game. You need to continue becoming more like Him. You need to make small changes, but changes nevertheless. You need to have boundaries in order to have rhythm and flow. Find what they are. You see, the Holy Spirit is like a river that's flowing through your life. But a river does not just scatter like a flood across the plains. A river has boundaries. And the banks keep it in line. You need to have the banks of your river established so that the river can flow with rhythm. What is that for you? God will help you with that. Where are you in the faith journey? You know where you are. I know where I am. We're not all on the same beat, not in the same place, but we all have our own rhythm with God, and we're walking the walk with Him faithfully. Find a place where you can abide in the Lord in a way that develops a rhythm, because here's what's going to happen. You're going to establish a routine, a river bank that allows the Spirit to flow, and you're going to find that place with Him, and it's going to be glorious and wonderful. It's going to be something that benefits your faith walk. It gives you strength. It gives you peace. It gives you harmony. And then something's going to come along, and it's going to throw it all off because the day is completely shot. The rhythm gets out of sync, right? The car won't start because it's 29 below. You have an emergency. You have to travel. You can't keep the same rhythm. But there's something wonderful about when you come back to the rhythm, it establishes that routine, and there's peace and there's harmony, and the river begins to flow once again. If you don't have it, you need to develop it. Simplify your faith, but challenge your faith walk nevertheless, so that you can continue the game with the Lord, with the small changes day by day, and rhythm and flow will help as you go forward. You have to have rhythm. You have to have established disciplines to create the boundaries for the flow of the river. What can that look like? Well, a quiet time. Where will it work for you and the Lord to be alone? Where you guys can just hang out. Maybe it's in the morning with a cup of coffee and you have your Bible on your lap. You don't have any distractions and that's your place. That's your rhythm. That's great. Maybe you have a toddler. Maybe you have an infant. Maybe you have different scenarios, and you can't do that in the morning. It just doesn't work for you. You got to find a place where the rhythm can work so the river can flow. You might want to have worship music on in the background at all times just to help your spirit. I know someone that does that a lot. And then there's me. I tried that. I got annoyed by it. I had the music playing. It's good worship music. I'm supposed to really be... And it's like, I turn it down. Then I turn it down. And on the computer, you can only go down by clicks, right? Click, 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 zero. This is perfect. Oddly enough, as much as I love worship, as much as I enjoy singing and playing a guitar and helping in every way possible I can through music, I don't listen to music. I am a strange person. I am an oddity. My son tells me so. And that's okay, because I have my own rhythm with the Lord. If I want to hear from God and I want to have communion with Him, for me, the music distracts me more than it helps me. Now, you might feel... Some of you are just like, oh, I feel so relieved. That's okay then. I'm not completely insane. Everybody's like, oh, you got to have work. Well, maybe you need the worship music for your calming of your spirit so you can commune. That's okay. Find the rhythm that works for you, the patterns of boundaries that work for you, your quiet times, your commune with God. Maybe you need to take a walk. Every single day you're out there walking. Why? Because you need time alone with God. You need to just get away from the house, take some time. Honey, you're watching the kids, I'm out the door. Whatever it might be, and you just need to have that moment. It's not because you need the exercise. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But you really, absolutely need to have time with the Lord without distraction, and that's your rhythm. Exercise, something might, like that might be good. Family time, you need to have family time. Find the rhythm so that the Holy Spirit can flow. And the rhythm is only established through the boundaries of disciplines. Matthew, as we close this up. Matthew chapter 14. Verse 23. Look at Jesus here. Here we have Messiah. God who became flesh. The Son of God, establishing a rhythm and a boundary so the Spirit could flow in his life. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. There's a whole story that we talk about that goes along with this, but I wanted you to see something that was a natural occurrence for Jesus. Find time alone with the Father. If the Son of God, God himself who became flesh and blood, who was divine and man all at once, if he needed to find time alone with the Father, maybe, just maybe, we should take that into account for ourselves. Just maybe we need to also find a way to develop that rhythm and flow with the Holy Spirit. Look at Luke, another example. Luke chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places to pray. You see how that's written? It's not that he went away one more time. No, he had this habit of doing this. This was his discipline. This was his rhythm of allowing the Holy Spirit to work in his life. Yes, he is God, but he's also man, and he found that he needed it. He needed the rhythm of his life, the boundaries so the Spirit could flow. He had to get away. Jesus maintained a rhythm of abiding with the Father in prayer. I believe that we also need to find that way of establishing the rhythm so that we can be successful followers of God as well. We want to see the big moments. We want to see the God moments, the glory come down moments. We want to see healings. We want to see miracles. We want to experience the supernatural. And I'm just going to challenge you, quit looking for those things and establish a routine of simple faith and let God be God. Let him be the one that brings the God moments, and you quit trying to orchestrate them. And let's just see what he wants to do with that. Let's give that a try. You might be shocked. You might be overwhelmed and overjoyed when the God moments and the glory come down moments become more continuous or more constant. Why? Because we have established a routine so the Spirit could flow. Remember that you are a process on a journey of faith. You are growing. And failures will happen. Nevertheless, Jesus will pick it up just where you left off. He doesn't start over. Isn't that great? He starts right where we are. Would you stand with me as we close? For those that are new in the faith, I hope that you're encouraged to know that it's an incremental baby step walk that's the most successful. Big, grandiose changes sometimes backfire. But let's take some small steps. Let's do it Jesus' way. And let's develop some of the boundaries that we do need so that the river can flow and that we can develop a rhythm with Him. What is your rhythm of flow with the Holy Spirit? Only you can know that, you and the Lord. I can't tell it for you. You're different than I am. We're all different from each other. But find it, please. And let the process of maturing in Him grow and flow. A slow and steady growth in the relationship you have with Jesus Christ is the best goal that you can have. For those that have been serving the Lord for many, many years, I pray that this is also encouraging for you. I pray that you will realize that you've put a lot on yourself that was unnecessary. And maybe secretly and privately you've been beating yourself up. Well, you can stop doing that. Let's just walk with Him. Let Him bring the glory. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for encouraging us and even challenging some of us to simplify things. Quit making it so hard. Quit trying to take such big steps. Or running these races at a sprint level when what we should be doing is a marathon pace. Running with endurance, not with speed. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to the small things. The details that help us to establish that rhythm so that we can hear you, you have an opportunity to hear us, that we can do this together. I pray, Lord God, you'll guide and direct in wonderful ways for all of us as we walk with you, to abide in you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.